is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Good morning. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom. My name is Sharon Sarles, and we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. I have to speak to you today about a topic that the most baleful, doleful, judgmental tones would not be negative enough to speak about, and yet I am a little blessed in the Holy Ghost. So I praise God that God is a good father, that God has love for us, a protective growing up love. Thank God, hallelujah. And may the ministers who portray that multiply, hallelujah. I would like to be going on to my series about economics. I think it's needed in our country, especially today. And I made it when I didn't have time back in February. And I think it's a great help to so many of my friends and a great, and I just did it in a passion, and I'm excited for it and want to move on. But no, I had to do this one. So I've just finished a series about the great rescues that were accomplished for us in this Passover resurrection season. And I hope that we are meditating on this and letting the Lord work in our lives in our time of confinement. I speak both of the pattern of the disciples who were waiting, tarrying in Jerusalem, and then having some interactions with Jesus before the day of Pentecost comes. And also we were confined in this pandemic of 2020. And even though my state, the restrictions have been lifted, really it's going on in so many ways. We can't just go out to a restaurant. We can't even go out to the hardware store and get what we need. So although we can, but it's much more difficult. The whole dynamic is different, and I refuse to think this is the new normal. I'm hoping that the communication density and the working of the Holy Spirit has unmasked the great conspiracy of Satan to try to bring on the tribulation and take down the sons of God and so forth and so on. And we'll just see. But the Lord will have his way one way or another. This I know. I read the end of the book. Much of what's going on is beyond the scope of this broadcast, because we don't get into quote-unquote politics. And I think this is, even this label is very limiting. It stifles the kind of teaching and dialogue that needs to happen. But nevertheless, this broadcast focuses on the needs of children and encourages parents, particularly mothers and educators, to believe for total well-being for these children. And I just talked about several things there, and the last one kind of spoke in veiled terms about some children having been rescued. But it has come to my attention that some women and children are still in the process of being rescued, and in fact, that process has only just begun. And the way I know to open this subject up to you is to tell you about a conversation that I had many, many, many years ago in my dinette. A friend of mine was visiting with me in this smaller town, and she went to a conservative church. Most of the churches in that town were conservative churches, and she was talking about a particular family. What were we talking about? Talking about the opinion that women can't preach. And, you know, there's a spectrum of that opinion. She was talking about a particular deacon in her church who was quite vocal and vociferous about women not being able to preach. And I said, And he abuses his wife and daughters. Isn't that the case? And her jaw dropped. And she said to me, "How did you know?" And over time, now that might have been partially Holy Spirit, that jump, but certainly I have seen a correlation between this kind of vociferous and evil pushing down of the voice of women, and what they do in private is even worse. I'll also take you further back in time to when I was a teenager and I was in, well, maybe it was a child development class, and we had a speaker from what I'm going to call CPS, Child Protective Services, in my state. The name of that arm of the state government has changed from time to time, but I think it's most often known as CPS, Child Protective Services. So this is the arm of the state that comes and removes children when they are abused, because the state has an interest in seeing that children are not abused. And today, so often we as Christians are aware of the times when the state has overreached its authority and has removed children from fit parents because of persecutorial vindictiveness or some other kinds of foolishness. And in Texas, the Texas Homeschool Coalition makes us aware of cases being fought for that reason. And in the nation, the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund does that. But there are other cases on the other end of that spectrum. And I'm going to take you even further back in time. I'm not going to forget about this class in my high school, but further back in time, some ancestor of mine, some generations ago, in the backwoods, or what is now the backwoods, he was being beaten by his father, and he went to the sheriff and asked for protection. He wanted to leave his father because his father was beating him. And, you know, this here is a boy, I don't know, seven maybe, over seven and less than 12. And he went to the law. We're talking about somebody's log cabin. He ran from one log cabin to another. And the sheriff listened to him and gave him a meal. And at the end of the day, both the sheriff and the boy were sitting on the porch of that log cabin, and the father rode up and said, "Boy, you come on." And the sheriff had his shotgun laid across his lap and called the father by his first name and said, "This boy is under the protection of the law now. So-and-so, you ride off." And so the father did. And that boy lived in the sheriff's house. Well, I think he was seven. I think he lived until he was 12 when he decided he was old enough to go work. And he left and established his own household. And that story is not told very often in the family, but my family, my parents gathered genealogy and they wrote that story down, and I know it. So there are cases where the state does have a genuine interest to see that children are not abused. So back to my high school days, and in a child development class, the speaker from CPS explained how they take care of children, how they will take children out of their homes if they are abused. And she said, if there is, so there is a hotline. There's a hotline in the state. So anybody can call and say, you know, I saw a child being abused. You know, my neighbors, they beat their kids or whatever. And so they can call the hotline. And then the CPS worker goes out, checks to see if that's true. And if it is true, then that child is removed from the household. And I know today that that may or may not be permanent. There may be some classes or some other kind of homework that the parent has to do. They may have to get off drugs today. But anyway, that was back in the 70s. So she said in the story, and she meant in the story of the complaint, in the story, if there is ever a piece that these are, if there's ever a religion in the story, if religion is in the story, then we believe it immediately and take those children. So back in the 70s, a speaker in a high school made it known to us that there was a policy in the state government that said that if the family is strictly religious, but she said if there is religion in the story, then they're going to believe the story of abuse, and they would be more likely to take the children in the 70s. In the 70s, they had enough experience to think this was a good policy. Today, you might say, oh, that's just persecutorial. And in fact, there are persecutorial engines in our government, in our culture today, and that is true. But unfortunately, it is also true that there are a lot of strictly religious people who abuse their children. And I do fault the pastors. Of course, I think, like Adorno's authoritarian personality structure, this is rooted in psychology, because you could be a liberal Methodist or an Episcopalian and have a certain personality where everything is up and down and you abuse your children, and your religion isn't itself conservative. But unfortunately, there are conservative groups whose preaching tends to encourage abusive behavior, and the structure, the patriarchal structure that that situation encourages, also encourages men to abuse, covers up the abuse, and allows it to persist. And because that same structure pushes down any of the women's voice and power, then the women, the mothers, are not able to protect their children, because they are either are so brainwashed themselves, or they're so imperiled themselves that they cannot protect their daughters, let alone their sons. God will judge this very strictly. If you are speaking for God, let alone, I mean, you're speaking the name of God, you are speaking for God, you are a pastor, and you encourage abuse, God will judge that very strictly. God is the final authority, and God is love. Do you disagree with this? You who preach the Bible, God is the final authority and God is love. And no loving father is going to allow his children to be abused, and particularly not in his own name. If blasphemy is a sin, there is no greater blasphemy than religiously incited child abuse. None. Do you remember Dante's Inferno? Do you remember that each lower realm of hell, and there were a place for bishops where they would roast forever in their tombs? But I think it's not the fires of hell, but the very cold center of hell where the little rat, Satan himself, will be confined. I think pastors who are child abusers will find themselves very close to Satan, to their great chagrin. And maybe they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. I am no master on the blueprints of hell, but I can tell you it is not good. And for all the self-congratulations and all the adulation and all the power and all the self-backslapping and self-backpatting, there will be the opposite. And for all the crows, there will be howls. And you who are mothers, be a mother in Israel. When your child comes and tells you that they were molested, you'd better not be spanking him for that. You'd better be investigating. And where are the husbands? What kind of men are you when you hear that your wife was molested as a teenager? Are you not speaking back to the pastors and the fathers? How can this go on? And you pastors, when you hear of one of your colleagues involving himself in this sort of sin, do you cover it up? Or do you set the house in order? Not just the house of God. In these groups, the pastor's family is considered the model. And he puts his wife down. And she, to keep her sanity, her place, and what good she has in life, fits into that model. And he, let alone, manages his house well. The Bible says don't put somebody in authority in the house of God who don't manage their house well. And do you adulate somebody who advertises that he abuses his children? What? And then he depredates sexually on them and then upon yours. And you keep going to that church? Mothers, speak up for your children, or you're not doing the job of mothers. You were not placed in that household as an adult to be treated as a child. Remember Caleb's daughters who had inheritance in Israel. Israel, unlike all of the other nations in the land, had respect for women's rights. Caleb's daughters. And this good report stuff, that has to do with spying out the land, not about covering up the sins in the camp. Remember what happened to covering up the sins in the camp? Remember the Valley of Achor. Remember the Valley of Achor. God will judge covering up sin more than the sin itself. You have got to stop abusing children. You've got to stop teaching that inures to abusing children. You've got to stop abusing women. You've got to stop preaching things that teaches abuse of women. And my stars, I don't need to say anything about sexual abuse, do I? Do I? But apparently I do. How is it that the family of God has a single instance where we have been worse than the world? Publish it not in Gath. And you wonder why your children leave. The largest clergy group in Austin is a group of men who are in accountability groups to keep them out of porn. Well, that's great. There's not much for women in that group, but I suppose the women could have an accountability group of some sort. That's a very strange group. But if that's what they find necessary, good, power to them. If that's what they need, why don't we have a ministerial alliance that's promoting the kingdom of God? Well, I don't know. May that arise. But, because that's what I'm familiar with, is ministerial alliances where the pastors get together mostly for social benefit for each other. And usually, anyway, the ones I've been in have been both male and female, obviously. But there seems to be a place for that, and they can work toward getting everybody saved and then also speak with some authority, because it's all of the churches speaking back to the government. And I think in most denominations, and even in the non-denominational fellowships, there are some clergy groups. And mostly that's for some social benefit. I would like to see it's also for some continuing education. And some denominations have pretty fair, a few have pretty fair continuing education. And in all cases, they can meet together and decide policy for their denomination. And part of that policy is the marketing. And occasionally, if they're big denominations, they can speak to the government. But what about speaking to yourselves? If you don't have a policy against sexual abuse, if you don't have a policy against child abuse, if you don't have policies against domestic abuse, you are very much to be blamed. And if instead, in your council, you have found a way to cover it up, to bolster it, then you have made a public vote for it. You have made a public vote for it. And I have seen a group that once had women clergy that no longer has women clergy because why? Because the spirit has drained out of it. Because why? Because, and one sees the accusations and one has never seen a published policy against sexual depredation. Because the old boys have closed ranks, even if they have not been organizationally competent, even if they have not been doctrinally in agreement, they supported one another. They closed ranks around abuse. And so what spirit they had left them, and even the women who were willing to continue serving were pushed out. And even this group, I remember their founder, and he said that they had such a strong authority system and such a weird doctrine around that. The clergy was called the man because he was in the place of Christ, and the congregation was called the woman. He said, the man serves at the pleasure of the woman. All authority is rooted in the people that permit the government. This is what he meant. And of course, he would talk about courtship in our culture. So the man proposes and the woman disposes. So men try to get a woman and she sends him packing. Okay, she doesn't like him. He said the man serves at the pleasure of the woman. All authority is rooted in the people who are governed. And so if you are paying tithes to this kind of congregation, stop it. If you are taking your children to this kind of congregation, stop it. And if you are a clergy in this kind of group, you need to speak up. And if you are an adult in this kind of family, speak up and stop it. And if need be, use the power of the government, for the representative of the government has a sword for a purpose. Thus says the scripture. God doesn't want his children depredated upon. And the final judgment will be the Lord's. Don't find yourself in hell. Don't find yourself in the lake of fire. Repent now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.